Two big budget showdowns are looming in Washington in the weeks ahead. The first is what to do about raising the $18 trillion debt ceiling. The second is whether to retain the spending cap sequester cuts in the 2016 budget. Author Steve Moore of FreedomWorks, who's written extensively for the Wall Street Journal, joins us now to discuss a piece he wrote recently for the Washington Times. In fact, we'll link the article on our website. The title of his article is GOP Must Not Allow Obama and Big Spenders in Both Parties to Blow Through Spending Caps. Steve joins us again for Vocal Points. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Steve, welcome back.
Hi, Jerry. Great to be with you. And by the way, just as we speak, the Republican and Democratic negotiators in Congress are putting together this budget deal that is, quite frankly, a disgrace. It is going to increase the debt ceiling by another $1 trillion. It's going to get rid of the spending caps. It's going to eliminate the sequester. It's a complete capitulation to the big spenders. So for those of us who believe in fiscal conservatism and less government, this is quite a retreat.
It's like stealing from our children and our children's children.
Well, you're right. And, you know, this debt, I mean, we have an $18.1 trillion debt. That's an astonishingly bad number, $18.1 trillion debt. And, we're going to basically say, just give them another $1 trillion. It's like, just extending the limit on your credit card when you've got a borrowing and bankruptcy problem. I mean, no business would do that. No household would do that. But somehow we feel like government should just be able to spend whatever it wants and borrow whatever it wants. So I think there's going to be a huge conservative revolt among voters against this deal. I really do, Jerry. I think people, when they find out that there's a few good things in it. I'm not, saying that there's no quid pro quo here, but when you look at what conservatives are giving up, they're giving up the hard-fought budget caps that have had a positive impact on reducing spending. We get rid of the automatic sequester cuts. We raise the debt ceiling. I mean, for Nancy Pelosi and Barack Obama are laughing all the way to the bank.
Wow. Well, in fact, this is something you wrote in your piece. If Republicans don't get this right, it could so demoralize conservatives that it would doom their chances of winning the White House in 2016. Is it that serious?
Yeah, I agree with I believe that to be true.
Well, that's what you wrote. I hope you agree with it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, but I mean, especially with respect to this deal, because they think that somehow they've bought peace, with Obama. But look, we as conservatives, and I feel this way, I think millions of others do, that we don't expect Republicans to win every fight against Barack Obama. I mean, the presidency is a powerful thing in America. But we do expect a Republican House and Republican Senate with control of both chambers to be putting up a fight. That's why they got elected. They promised that they would try to help balance the budget and reduce government debt spending, and they aren't doing it. Jerry, they basically just, gone into the fetal position, and they think somehow that voters aren't paying attention, but I believe they are.
Wow. And you said this in your piece. In 2015, the U.S. government ran up one of the largest budget deficits in history, borrowing more than $1 billion a day, 7 days a week, and twice on Sunday. So, in other words, $8 billion a week is what you're saying.
Yeah, we were borrowing, close to a half a $1 trillion a year. And, $1 billion a day of borrowing? A billion? Not a million, a billion. Those are gigantic numbers. It is an indication that something has gone terribly wrong in Washington. Look, Jerry, we are a great nation. We are a nation that is the only economic superpower, but we're not going to retain that status of being a great, powerful economic nation if we continue to borrow and borrow and borrow. I mean, where has that ever worked? You look at countries like Mexico and Argentina and Bolivia and Russia that have tried to do that. Right. That story never has a happy ending.
Boy, you are so right. A comment on the leadership and the change of the leadership in the House, and is that related to this whole budget mess?
Well, what's really funny is that John Boehner, and so, by the way, I have much respect for John Boehner. I thought he was an excellent minority leader. I think that one of his great accomplishments was the Budget Control Act of 2011, which established the sequester and the budget caps in the first place. What I don't get, and I'm shocked, I wish I could get through to him and say, John, what are you doing? This is your legacy, is the Budget Control Act, and now you've just basically unplugged it, and now it doesn't exist anymore. The caps are gone. Those hard-fought battles that you won, you basically surrendered at the negotiating table with Obama. And, he said, Jerry, that he was going to, quote, clean out the stables for incoming, Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan. But what he's really done is, put a big pile of manure right in the stable. And now Paul Ryan's going to have to clean that up, too.
Wow. What are your comments on Paul Ryan? I was even reading a piece today by a conservative who has very serious reservations.
I believe Paul Ryan is going to be a great leader. I think he's a great face for the party. I think he believes in, you know, conservative values, both on social and fiscal issues. I think he is someone who is a good face in terms of being likable and being presentable and being knowledgeable and being able to bring consensus within the caucus. So I think he's a brilliant choice. I think we'll all be very proud of him. It's a hard job, Jerry. You know, you're herding these cats of 240, you know, as Newt Gingrich called them, the number of Congress is like 240, you know, high school class presidents. So it's hard to get them all to march in the same direction. But if anyone can, Paul Ryan can.
Huh. Okay, now, not only do you write for the Wall Street Journal, you have extensively, and you've got this op-ed piece in the Washington Times, but also you and a respected New York-based economist, David Malplus, have drafted a plan that would provide reasonable restraints. Let me just quote this from your own article. Currently, the publicly held debt to GDP ratio stands at about 74% of the annual GDP. It's expected to drift up to closer to 100% of GDP over the next 24 years. That's a danger zone for sure. Can you explain exactly what does that mean in layman's terms? In other words, we're just borrowing way too much.
Yeah, right. Exactly. To put it very simple, yeah, we're borrowing way too much money because we're borrowing as much as we produce. You know, our borrowing, this is the accumulated amount of borrowing that we've done, you know, is $18.1 trillion. By the way, in the last 10 years, the debt has doubled. So we've borrowed as much in the last 10 years as we did the first 250 years of the nation.
Wow.
I mean, that's disgraceful.
So in other words, George Washington, I mean, think about all the history we've had.
Exactly. That's right.
That's awful.
So 10 years, the last 2 years of Bush and the first 7 years of Obama, we've borrowed more money than, you know, to fight the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, World War One, World War Two, the Cold War, and the Great Depression. I mean, that's pretty disgraceful. And, you know, what basically Republicans have said here is, you know, we're just going to wait till the next election to fix this. But, you know, Jerry, I've heard that for 30 years. Just wait till the next election. Nothing ever gets fixed.
Wow. Okay, now, the Malpass-Moore plan would move the debt in the opposite direction. Explain that.
Well, what we want to do is basically say that you have to, every year, the percentage of the debt to the GDP has to drop by at least one percentage point. So you keep ratcheting that number down on a gradual basis over the next 20 years. So instead of going to 100% of GDP in debt, we go down to about 50 or 60%, which is much more manageable. And that requires two things, Jerry. It requires growing the economy and creating more jobs. And it requires, you know, limitations on government spending. And I think we can do both of those things if we have the right leadership in Washington. By the way, the Republican Congress completely ignored our advice. They went in the exact opposite direction. They simply capitulated to Barack Obama and gave him everything he wanted to avoid a confrontation. That's not leadership.
Hmm. Now, what actually happens if you get to the point where essentially 100% of GDP, 100% is the same amount that you are in debt? I mean, obviously that's not sustainable.
Worry is that what happens then is you get such a large amount of debt that as interest rates start to rise, and the one thing we got going for us right now is the interest rates are so low. If those rates start to rise, then what happens is that you get higher and higher interest payments on the debt. As anyone knows who has a lot of debt themselves, you know, you have to pay your interest payments, like paying your mortgage each month. Then if your interest payments keep going up, pretty soon you can't even pay for the things you need. Because your most routine expenditure is just paying the interest on the debt for money you already borrowed. That's the direction our federal government is going in. So we'll pay more and more of our taxes, Jerry, not for roads and bridges and schools and, you know, hospitals, but we'll pay just to pay for the interest on the debt. That's a terrible situation to be in.
That is. And it's interesting, your article points out that the amount of revenue raised by this country in the first part of this year, their fiscal 2015, we've actually collected more tax revenue than any nation in the history of the world. And yet that's not enough.
We raised $3.3 trillion in 2015, you know, we're on a fiscal year, so it ended in October, than any time in our country's history or any country's history. So my point was, Jerry, that we don't have a revenue problem. We have a spending problem. We don't have an inflow problem. We've got an outflow problem. And we've got to control the amount of money we're spending, because if we don't, we're going to find ourselves in a very, very precarious situation, as you started by saying. You know, our children and grandchildren are eventually going to pay this cost.
Yeah. You know, it's so interesting, too, because people like Obama and now Bernie Sanders and so forth are always clamoring about how, oh, we've got to help the little guy, we've got to help the poor. Oh, great, by bankrupting the country? I mean, this is bad for everybody.
Well, you know, we're going in the wrong direction. Now, look, if we get new leadership and we get someone who grows the economy much faster and creates more jobs and we start to get the spending under control, then we can reverse course. What makes me nervous is what the Republicans and Democrats agreed to yesterday was a giant leap in the wrong direction. In other words, rather than passing more fiscal constraint, they basically said, let's just spend again. Let's have a spending orgy in Washington, and everybody will be happy, and the voters won't notice that the debt is going up by another $1 trillion and that we're spending all this money that we don't have. I think, Jerry, the people do notice. They are paying attention, and I think those who vote for this budget deal are going to pay a very steep cost.
Well, what can we, the people, do about this?
We have to pay attention. We have to voice our discontent, and we've been doing this. This is what makes me so angry, is that it's like these people in Washington are in some kind of bubble. They don't pay attention to what the voters are saying. And you know, if when that happens, it leads to the rise of Trumpism, and it's the reason Ben Carson is doing so well, Carly Fiorina, the non-politicians, because people think politicians just lie to us. I mean, just a year and a half ago, all the Republicans said, vote us into office, and we'll be fiscal conservatives.
Yeah.
And here we are 6 months later. And they're doing just the opposite.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. You're right. It's not even a whole year ago. That's right. November 2014, the Republicans basically won in so many different places with the idea that they would resist all this massive spending and the further expansion of Obamacare. And, you know, where are we now?
Well, we haven't seen a lot of victories. Now, Obama, look, we're facing the most liberal president since Woodrow Wilson. So this is very difficult for Republicans. But, you know, look, the way I put it, Jerry, is as a Republican, I don't expect the Republicans to win all these battles against Barack Obama, but I do expect them to fight the battles.
And right.
To just surrender before you fight the battle, that we might as well not have Republicans at all.
Hmm.
So anyway, I hope that this budget goes down. I hope they negotiate something that's better for taxpayers. And, you know, then we have to elect a president who is a true fiscal conservative. Those are the priorities for America, and it starts by killing this budget deal.
All right, let me ask this. So there's two parts to this whole thing. One is the debt ceiling, and I think you've really covered that very well. The other part of this is the spending cap sequester cuts in the 2016 budget. Would this basically, if this budget deal goes through, this would undo the previous sequester deals?
Then the budget caps are dead. Then we don't have any fiscal discipline at all. That's why this is such a fraud. Because
this is like giving Obama a blank check.
It was the only check and balance we had, and the check and balance is now eviscerated.
Yeah, so this is like giving Barack Obama a blank check. Here, Mr. President,
yep.
Go ahead and bankrupt the country, send our kids into poverty and our children's children.
Well, but let me make a point.
Sure.
The Congress has the power of the purse. Let me say that again. The Congress has the power of the purse. President Obama cannot spend one penny, not one penny, unless a Republican Congress authorizes it. So, Jerry, I don't think you can blame this one on Obama. I mean, he shares some of the blame. The Republicans run Congress. They're the ones who spend the money. And if we've got a trillion-dollar deficit, it's because of Republicans, not Democrats. And I hate to say that because I'm a Republican, but it's simply the truth.
Right. All right. Excellent. And again, I've got a link to your article. Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it. You do great work. Appreciate it. Bye-bye now. That's Steve Moore of Freedom Works, and we have a link to his article on our website. We'll be back in a moment with more Vocal Point.